Welcome to this special edition of The Art of Advisory. I'm Kirk Bowman from The Art of Value, and joining me is my co-host Hector Garcia from Quick Bookkeeping. Hector, I'm not going to ask you how your week was because you just had a whole month within a weekend. What's going on in your world?
Yeah, so you're calling it a special episode because this is not, we don't know yet if this is an advisory topic, but it is definitely a topic about some recent things, unexpected things that happened to me, which are definitely going to render a learning experience that I will likely translate into my work in one way, shape, or form. So what Kicker's talking about is at 11:30 p.m. on Thursday, I get an email from YouTube saying that my channel has been terminated because of abuse of community guidelines. And that's it. No more information. I called the phone number for Google and YouTube. It was on hold for hours. And, you know, you couldn't really speak to a human being. There wasn't a chat or a direct email. I found the email of the copyright department. So I emailed the copyright department and said, hey, I just want to know if this is a copyright issue, which, you know, naturally you would feel it could be, right? Because I do videos about other softwares, you know, so maybe I'm using the name too much. I really didn't know what the reason was. And to date, I haven't gotten like a formal email saying this is what the issue is. They're probably going to come back and say that is there was some sort of fluke. But anyway, I started doing some research, and most people in which this has happened to, I would say like 90% or so, they don't get their channel back. And there were people complaining that, you know, maybe it was an algorithm or maybe it was a copyright issue. I mean, I at that point I was flying blind. And I kind of just like spent that whole night, Thursday night, just kind of researching it. And it was like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. And I said, all right, you know what, let me get some sleep. and I'll, you know, maybe when I wake up, it's just a nightmare. And that would have been nice. And then we'll see if, you know, maybe the next morning, this is maybe like an overnight glitch. So I wake up the next morning and it wasn't a nightmare. It was a reality. My channel was completely gone. I started getting emails from people saying, hey, I can't get to your videos. I can't find your videos. I was counting on the video because I had a client appointment. I mean, I got a whole bunch of messages that made the situation even worse because it just kind of showed me the impact that the videos were having and how they weren't just videos. They were tools that some people were using for their work. So I get on the phone again I get on the phone with YouTube, try to get someone on the phone. I can't. I started contacting some sort of like power YouTubers that I have contacted and consulted with in the past, explaining my situation. They were all like, I don't know if I could do anything. You know, it just didn't, it felt like it wasn't, that it could potentially, could have been a reality that my whole channel was down. So I put a couple of messages in Facebook explaining to my friends and colleagues that follow me through there what was going on, and the response was overwhelming with support. People giving all sorts of suggestions. They were asking me about backups, and I want to talk about backups. I think the one lesson I've learned from this thing is backups. But anyway, they were asking me, do you have a backup? Can you publish it somewhere else? People were giving me ideas on where to post the videos as an alternative to YouTube. There was a whole bunch of people, you know, F-boarding Google and YouTube left and right, and they're saying, screw them, go somewhere else. And I was like, hold on. You don't understand. This is not just a place where I put my videos. This is a community, and I have open communication with my subscribers, and people ask me questions, and this is where a lot of my leads come from. And I was ashamed to say it, I put all my eggs on this basket. I mean, I'm all in cloud technology. I'm all in. I think that it's better to have it in the cloud than have it in your computer. As a matter of fact, I have a 6 terabyte hard drive that's full because the video recordings are really big. And I don't have some of my older videos from 2014, 15, and 16. They may not be that relevant anymore, but they're part of the history. Right, they were part of the history about you know, of my channel, so I didn't have all my backups, so that was one major issue. Two, it takes a while to like re-render and upload them. three, anything outside of YouTube, it costs. Like if I put it in Wistia or if I put it in Vimeo, it's expensive. I mean, compared to free, it's expensive. I've also learned that Google and YouTube spoils us with free. And that's something that I also want to talk about, Kirk. This weekend has been a roller coaster, emotional roller coaster, just because I'm thinking about all the possible negative outcomes and all the work I have to put it back up. So I didn't back up properly. I did not have a redundancy plan other than, you know, telling my friends and colleagues about it and them showing me a lot of support, which I appreciate deeply. And three, we're spoiled with the Google machine giving us a free thing. So those are three things that I think I have to take action moving forward. And as an advisor, I think it's horrible that it happened, but I think it's a great experience to have, because I know the emotional anxiety that can go behind the possibility of losing a chunk of your work.
So let's put this in perspective. I think you did some of that, but first of all, this is fresh. I mean, literally, you found out minutes before we hit record that your channel came back online. So you were offline for over 72 hours, right? So for over 3 days. And as you said, this affects your livelihood. And this is one of those kind of things that when it happens, it has such a big impact, because it is a fundamental foundation of your marketing, right? And so, number one, I'm glad your channel's back, because it makes it easier to have this discussion. We certainly wouldn't be having this if it weren't back. But just, you know, sounds like you
damning YouTube and Google to hell. But we don't need to anymore. Gladly.
Well, I just want to say congratulations for keeping a level head about yourself. And it sounds like, you know, as disappointing as something like this is, and the word disappointing is not strong enough, but you kept a level head and you did the right thing, which is reaching out to your network, whether that's having, you know, your thousands of subscribers, you know, just start raising the awareness that this has happened, to reaching out to maybe some people in your network that are influential, that maybe have some contacts within Silicon Valley, you know, to try to help. Of course, we don't know why it was taken down. We don't know why it went back up, but we want to talk about the lessons from that. So you mentioned three things. Let's hit those, and there may be a couple more that we'll draw out. But one of the things you said to me as we were about to hit record was that backups and redundancy are not the same thing. So let's define each of those. Why are they both important and how are they different?
So, okay. So I have some backups of my video. Okay. So I have a digital file in a hard drive somewhere, because I don't fit on my physical computer because they're so big. I have a physical hard drive and I have backups in my head, right? Because I could redo them technically, right? So I wasn't worried whether there was a backup or not, although I only backed up the most recent ones, thinking that even if a catastrophic event like this, and by the way, it's funny that this is a true first world problem where we call this catastrophic. So I recognize that this is not a catastrophe in a whole other context. However, in terms of how I created a business model around YouTube, and I think we could probably dig deep into that as well, from that perspective, absolutely yes. From the perspective that I built a business model that was basically standing on really high legs that could be wiped just like that. So I had some backups, mostly of the recent ones, and I thought, look, if this happens, the old ones are probably not that relevant anymore, and I'll just upload the newer ones. And that's exactly what happened, by the way. So I went to a platform called Vimeo. I did a lot of research, and I'm not plugging them or anything like that. A platform called Vimeo, it cost me like between $35 to $40 a month. And I could have uploaded all my videos, and I haven't slept in a couple of days, and I've been uploading the videos little by little, and I have uploaded about 50 or 60 of them into Vimeo. Now Vimeo is a paid platform, so they don't choose what's proper or not proper. They don't have advertisers. So they are probably not going to pull my videos for any arbitrary reason, algorithm, whatever it happens to be. Especially because I'm paying for the hosting platform. So I was actually very happy that I found it, and I will continue to use them, because they will be my backup within my backup. I thought YouTube was my backup because it was my cloud backup. But one cloud backup is not enough. Even if it's the monster of Google, which is the biggest, second biggest company in the world, you would think, you know, it's absolutely reliable. But I think you have to have two backups. So a backup is you have a copy of the file somewhere and you can retrieve it in a relatively decent time. Now, redundancy is particularly different because redundancy is not just having a backup, but having your operating system up and running in case the other one comes down. Now, in terms of my business model, and I want you to make sure that you understand this clearly, in terms of my business model, I have shifted to serve clients remotely from my house. I have shifted to price my services accordingly to my area of expertise and specialization, right? I got really good at a couple of things within QuickBooks, like inventory troubleshooting, data entry, and fixing corrupt large data files. That's something that's it's hard to find a whole bunch of clients for that. So I use YouTube as a place where I can download and show my expertise so people all over the world can find me there. And the thought that I would have to figure out other ways or start from scratch on how to communicate that expertise, or maybe unravel that and then become a generalist again so I can take local clients again, that was, you know, that was a little bit scary because I did not have a redundancy plan. See, I had backups so I could send the videos back up. But what about my redundancy plan? Where are my new leads going to come from? Where are my new clients going to come from? How am I going to reestablish that channel where people know where to go to find my videos? And the tricky thing is that even though Google indexes the whole web, they don't really rank Vimeo videos as much as YouTube videos. So even if I were to do this phenomenal job at putting my videos back up, I don't think Google would have made it as easy to find as it is in YouTube. So to be clear, I am very grateful for YouTube. And in retrospect, the value that YouTube brings to me as a practitioner now, I feel is a thousand times more than what I felt a couple of days ago. Obviously, an hour ago when my channel was still down, I thought the value was negative. Now that my channel is back up, I think the value is a thousandfold. But it's an important thing not to take for granted what you have. I also really quick understood, again, you know, what it feels like to lose something rather than, you know, not to have something, which is two different things. You know, the psychology of having something taken away is much stronger and much more disheartening as the psychology of just not being able to have something that you've never had before. So going back to backup and redundancy, that is something that now I am going to make sure that I have all backups of all my stuff and multiple backups, a hardware tangible backup and a cloud backup. I think that at this point, I'm at that place where I can't just think that a cloud backup is enough, or at least one cloud backup is enough. So backups is going to be one physical hardware backup and a cloud backup, and redundancy, I have to be able to flip a switch and within a couple hours have my operating system up and running, especially if I depend on this data to function.
So just a little bit more on just the difference between backup and redundancy. Backup is a tool that is used to recover from a disaster. Redundancy is a tool that is used to circumvent a disaster. In other words, the whole idea of redundancy means we have a duplicate. Okay, we have, in your case, I'm just going to use YouTube as your primary video publishing platform, and at least, you know, up until a few minutes ago, Vimeo was the replacement. Well, what if, and this is just, I'm not saying this is what you should have done, I'm saying it's one possibility. Whenever you publish a video to YouTube, you also published it to Vimeo, right?
Yeah.
So that there were multiple copies in two different cloud services. That is an example of redundancy, because particularly if you have control of your domain and you have the ability to redirect, let's say that you had created a domain, I don't know, you know, quickbookkeeping.com/YouTube. Well, you might have been able to redirect that to your Vimeo account when your YouTube account went down. So that's an idea of redundancy. And the idea is exactly what you said. You got to be able to either flip a switch or within an hour to a couple hours back up and running. A lot of businesses, when Hurricane Katrina hit, realized that they may have had backups, but they didn't have redundancy. There were a few businesses that were down in New Orleans and Southern Louisiana that had the ability to move to a second office because they had some type of redundancy plan in place. And there were stories of businesses that were back up and running in a week. There are other stories of businesses that never got back up and running. I have one customer that's a call center, and what they do is they take crisis calls from people who, you know, are going through extreme crisis in their lives and people who maybe need some professional assistance to get through that. And, you know, their main office is down on the coast in Corpus Christi, but they have a backup facility up in Tyler. And it's really not a backup, but use the right term, it's a redundant facility. So they literally, when a hurricane's coming in the Gulf, they can literally bring a whole team online up in Tyler and keep things running, even if they're Corpus Christi facility. So that's kind of that difference. So what were you thinking? You made another comment, and I guess let's dive into it. You said relying on free. So unpack that for me. What do you mean by relying on free? What's good about that? What's negative about it? And what's your view on it after having it taken away?
Yeah. So, I mean, the first thing that I've been trying to give some deep thought to is, you know, how does the Google ecosystem business model work? Okay. They create great products, cloud-based products. For the most part, they're free. I mean, there's not that many Google products that are for sale other than the Google hardware. I mean, even the Google operating system on the Android phones are free, which, by the way, they got in trouble in the EU for sort of like monopoly antitrust because they were selling it for too cheap. I guess free is too cheap in the EU. But anyway, so the business model, it's all about you know, having the product at the lowest possible price, which in this case is free. And they get, the way they make money is from, you know, the outset of your activity and inserting advertising matched or tied to your demographic and usage data. So for example, an advertiser in a free Gmail account would be able to put an ad next to your email about a vacation to Jamaica if in your email you're talking to somebody about Jamaica, even if it's a work-related thing. So they use the information that you're using in order to monetize it through advertising. The way YouTube worked is, the way from what I understand it, YouTube's long game here is to replace television, is to compete against the cable companies, is to completely replace production companies and TV production companies and give the power of, you know, this visual movie video creation back to the users. But the challenge is that when you give away something for free, you're going to have a much, much, much higher priority, I mean, a probability that the users are going to be abusive, or they're going to use it for personal gain, or they're going to want to game the system. And one of the common things that people do is they create videos redirecting to phishing. That's PH, not phishing like fish in the sea, but phishing, the technical term of trying to steal people's identity, the emails and stuff like that. So they send them to phishing websites, or they spam the content, or, you know, they do things that are illegal, and because of that, the Google security system has to screen this and has to block them and has to shut down some of these channels. Now, I assume, again, I haven't received an email from somebody at Google or YouTube. I assume it's not going to happen, right? I'm one in a billion customers. Or maybe, who knows, maybe the CEO from YouTube calls me, takes me out to lunch. Probably not. So what ends up happening is, I assume, they have software systems, algorithm, artificial intelligence that puts patterns in the channels together to detect what is potentially, you know, spam or illegal content. I assume that something in my channel triggered it. You know, who knows? And then there's an appeal process, but their appeal process is so backed up that in the website they say it may take 2 to 4 weeks to resolve, because I guess a human being actually looks at it and tries to figure out whether or not the software made the right call. Now, I read that some people took 4 weeks or 6 weeks, so I was really freaking out. So I tried to pull all the stumps. I contacted everybody I knew. I let the whole world know what was going on. And, you know, and the community took it to Twitter, and they were tweeting the CEO of YouTube. They were tweeting Google. They were tweeting their support team, and they were retweeting, and they were, they were doing what, you know, they were in up, they wanted the channel back up. So they wanted to make sure that they knew that this channel had real users, a real community behind it. So I suspect that the combination of the appeal, maybe some folks at Intuit made some phone calls to the folks at Google, YouTube, the Twitter campaign, the comments in Facebook, I'm sure a combination of all of it raised the issue to the top. Somebody was able to look at it. And Monday morning, because it's morning in California, somebody took care of it. So I think it was great. And I'm very grateful that that happened. I'm grateful for whoever at YouTube pulled the trigger. I'm grateful for all the folks at Intuit QuickBooks that may or may not have contacted some folks that they know. And I'm also grateful for the community that showed their support throughout it. So, but anyway, it's the challenge with being bound and stuck with a company that charges you nothing, in which you know that they're going to have their own rules in terms of how you have access to your data, or if you will have access to your data. So I would be very wary of someone that relies so much on email using a free Gmail account to run their business. So that would be the first lesson. I have Gmail, but I have G Suite, and it's a paying account. And when they shut down my account, they shut down all my YouTube accounts except for my G Suite account, because I know it probably would have been a catastrophic legal issue in their behalf that they're charging me for like email service, email and calendar service, whatever G Suite is, and they shut that down because of some error. So they definitely did not shut down my G Suite account, and that's a paying account. So I take it that maybe in one way, shape, or form, paying for an account so there's an actual exchange between two parties is going to be much safer than you doing something, getting something for free and being at the mercy of what that free system means and all the rules around, you know, giving those products for free.
I'm curious, since you just mentioned it, is there a way to have a paid YouTube account where you're not, you know, basically, is there a way to pay them money so that it would put you, you know, not in a free relationship, but a paying customer relationship?
So they have this thing called YouTube Premium, which I was paying for. I was $12 or $15 a month, but it wasn't implying that what I'm paying for is YouTube hosting as a creator. I was paying as a user, so I don't have to see ads and some other premium content. But since I'm always watching videos to as research, let's call it that, I don't want to watch the ads. You know, I don't have time to watch ads. So I'm willing to pay the $12, $15 a month for that premium service. But it's not a premium service as from a hosting perspective. But given the fact that I was willing to pay Vimeo, actually paid Vimeo, like $500 for the whole year to have the hosting, I would definitely pay Google that or more, because the Google platform is 10 times better than Vimeo. Although I'm grateful for Vimeo for taking my money and letting me open the account.
Well, you know, another thing that we need to throw in kind of with this idea of backup and redundancy is distribution and distribution of services. And one of the best ways I can think of this is most of the time when people set up a website and they get a domain, their domain registrar, in other words, the company where they register, in other words, purchase the domain name, is the same place where they host their website. And those two things do not have to be together. And in fact, you know, I advise my clients when I'm doing software consulting that they actually need to separate those things. So like in my case, I use a domain registrar called Namecheap.com, and then I use a separate company called SiteGround for hosting. But for a lot of companies, both those things are in the same place. The reason being is whoever you register your domain with generally has control of the domain name servers, which are basically, it's essentially the Yellow Pages or the phone directory for the internet. Whenever you type in a URL, so I type in, Vimeo.com. Well, what literally happens is behind the scenes, when I type that text in, it's going to a server, which is called a domain server, and saying, hey, what IP address does this name point to? And so it's that ability to have control over that, that if your web host has that and your domain name server, they have control over both. Under certain circumstances, you can kind of, you know, be without the ability to control things. Whereas if they're separate, if there's some issue with your web host, if there's disagreement, they don't think your site should be up because they think you're violating copyright, or, you know, they've gotten a cease and desist letter or whatever. If you control your domain name servers through another vendor, you can just simply set up, you know, a new website or take a backup of your old website, put it on a different host and be up and running, you know, probably within an afternoon. That's an example of this. And so we need to think of this across many different platforms and things like this. And this is, you know, it's just like Hurricane Katrina, right? A lot of times we don't think about these things until the disaster hits, and then it's too late. And we need to help our customers think about this. You know, we talk about advisory. One of the things that CPAs and bookkeepers can do with their customers is to help them think about backups, redundancy, distribution of services. For example, what happens if your customers are on QBO, QuickBooks Online, and it becomes unavailable? And it becomes unavailable for a long time. Now, I realize, you know, that it had to be a pretty catastrophic event, because Intuit has a lot of redundancy for that hosted service. And most big companies that have those cloud services do, but yet it's a possibility. That's something to think about.
That's right. That's right. You know, I think that's an important concept. I use for my hosting GoDaddy, for my domain name GoDaddy, and I use for hosting, I forgot what company I use, some other company. So if GoDaddy was to go down, at least my website is up, and whichever other mechanism I can do to either redirect the domain name to the website, that's, you know, that will be there. Or if my website comes down, and hopefully I have a backup for my website, which I don't, so it's time for me to back up my website as well. Wow, so many things that just come up, all the things I don't have backups for. So if my hosting company goes down, I should have a backup of my website, and then I can hire another hosting company, put it back up, and then re-forward it to the new hosting. So I'm with you in terms of that. And I think, if anything, we should also have maybe two websites. I don't know. I mean, I do have two separate websites that we can leverage of each other. But, you know, I don't know if I want to become now a conspiracy theory freak, you know, about, you know, things coming down and backups. I don't want to become that person. But what I felt this weekend absolutely makes me feel that I have to be, you can't be overly cautious, especially if we're talking about your livelihood.
You know, we talk about backups here and websites. So another piece of advice that I would give is make sure that you're backing up your website in a place other than your web host. Now, a lot of web hosts have, you know, routine, usually daily backups as part of the service. And those are great, because if something goes wrong, you know, at worst, you can revert to something that's no more than 24 hours old usually. But that assumes that nothing's happened at the host, at, you know, on their infrastructure. If something happens there and you don't have a backup off-site, meaning either downloaded to your hard drive, which most hosting services for websites allow you to do. I actually use a service called Managed WP, and they have both a free level and a paid level. That literally, if your site is based on WordPress, which a lot of professionals do use WordPress, it will literally back it up to their site. And so I manage a few websites, not just my own, but a couple others. And one of those that I manage went down, and it went down hard. And I literally had to restore it from an offsite backup. Once I realized I wasn't going to be able to get what was there originally back, I just simply deleted deleted the account, set up a new install, and I had the website back up in 30 minutes because I had a backup, a cloud backup that was not in the same place or with the same vendor as my hosting was. So there's another example of that. So Hector, what else have you learned through this process? I mean, you know, we've talked about redundancy, backup, distributed services. We talked about some examples of that. I've hinted at the idea that advisors can actually provide guidance in that area to their customers. By the way, I will add this caveat. You can't provide guidance in that area if you haven't done it yourself. So I could see, you know, a new section of services coming out on, you know, GarciaCPAs.com. I'm joking. But anyway, what else have you learned from this? What else would you put into this category?
I think one of the most also another important thing is that outside from your like sort of your digital network of your customers, I think it's also important to have a human network, right? Of folks that you connect to, because you know, in tough times, in times in times of adversity, it is the people that you have made a connection with, the ones that are, well, number one, keep you sane, and two, if you help people proactively, if you help people proactively without expecting anything in return, you're going to have this incredible goodwill of people that will remember that you helped them. And I don't know how I help people, but I created videos that were helpful to some people. And when someone hears my plea, hey, dude, my channel's down, I don't know what's going on, they're going to jump all over it, and they're going to want to help you back. So in today's digital world, where we think all the power is in the computers and in the numbers and software, I think sometimes we take for granted how much power there is behind the folks that you connect with and the folks that you help. And in any situation of losing your backups for anything, the human beings are still there to remember who you are, what you're capable of, what you can do with them. So one of my suggestions is to create deep relationships with clients and colleagues. You know, the funny thing is, most of the people that came out were the colleagues, were the folks that are quote unquote my competitors. And when you're part of a community and you build a community, whether it's with customers, with colleagues, and something unexpected happens, they're going to be there to back you up and keep you sane. So I would strongly suggest that not just create a digital backup of your work, you know, create analog backups in the brains and memories of people, so they remember who you are and what your work means to them.
I'm curious, do you have, and I know it's just a guess at best, maybe a guesstimate, but no more, how many people do you think reached out on your behalf, either via Twitter or via an email or something like that? Do you think we're talking about hundreds or thousands?
I don't know if I can track thousands, but definitely in the hundreds. Definitely in the hundreds. I think that if this would have gone out for longer, you know, if this would have been out for 2 weeks, I think it could have like snowballed and accumulated to the thousands, because you know, people will ask other people to jump in. But just with the immediate network that I have in Facebook and the folks that have emailed me in the past to ask questions, that were emailing me saying, "Hey, what's going on with your videos?" That sort of thing. And a few followers I have on Twitter, just between that, it snowballed pretty fast. As a matter of fact, I strongly believe that this was expedited because of the support of the community. I think the support of the community, I mean, if it was an error, I think they would have fixed it anyway. So I have faith that Google and YouTube has a system in place where people can jump in and use their judgment and make the right decision and appeal a computer-made decision. But I think that the overwhelming evidence that there are real people in the community, that it's not just a spam network, because obviously you wouldn't have loyalty towards a spam channel, right? So my channel is obviously not a spam channel. It's an educational channel, which is the other thing. You know, Kirk, you've taught quite a bit before, and you've been teaching for a while. As a matter of fact, I saw a video recently that you did, that you posted in your YouTube channel for 2010. By the way, it's time to get some updated videos in there. You had a channel from 2010. You were about 15 pounds younger, but you were, hey. Yeah, but you were also resilient about value pricing, and you were being bombarded with people just giving you every single objection in the book in terms of why you shouldn't price your, you know, custom database software, custom software in terms of value. And you were there in the middle of everybody taking questions, holding your ground. And I got to tell you, people build a lot of respect from the folks that are willing to teach, or the folks that are willing to share their story, and the folks that have no problem, you know, getting beat up from the contrary belief, because you believe strongly on your cause. And I think that when it comes to being an advisor, especially with, you know, free products like YouTube and all the social media, there's a huge opportunity out there to get in front of many folks and teach what you know, whether you're an expert or not. As long as you are there teaching and sharing that knowledge, people build an enormous amount of respect for you, and they do come to call. They do come. They do take action when you ask them to. Not all of them, but there will be a few that do. And I've gotten some emails that have made my eyes water in terms of, you know, the message that, you know, people say, look, it doesn't matter what platform you go to, just tell us the word and we'll go there. And that's a strong thing to build. And in one way, shape, or form, this thing that happened for 4 days that my channel was down, it was almost kind of good, because it reminded me, you know, why I'm doing this and who I'm doing this for, and why is it important for anyone that's in the advisory position to build this authority with a crowd. And the easiest way to do it is to share your knowledge. You can start a podcast like we have. You know, almost everything out there is free at this point. So not to take advantage of that as a professional, I think it's a huge missed opportunity. But of course, you know, back up your content. I won't forget that.
Well, and you know, I can share. For example, let's give other examples. I guess that's where I'm going with this, of how this can happen, right? You had your YouTube channel just yanked without any prior warning or anything. They just did it, right? I know friends who had built businesses around a Facebook group, and all of a sudden the Facebook group gets shut down, or their Facebook page gets shut down. What this really means, how do you have redundancy in these areas? Don't just rely on one social media platform or one type of online presence for your, essentially your home base, right? It's okay to have one that maybe is your primary, but have another that's your secondary that you can fall back to. Right? If you're doing a lot of videos, make sure you're uploading the videos to more than one place, right? I mean, we do that with this show, right? Normally when we're live, we publish this, it goes on Facebook Live, but we also edit it and then publish it to YouTube. That may change. We'll see. But anyway, the bottom line is, you know, we're exercising that advice ourselves with this show, and it can happen on Facebook and other platforms. And who knows what the social media platforms are going to be even a year or 2 years from now. You know, right now, YouTube and Facebook are probably the two biggest ones, but that can change. You know, Twitter has had a bigger relevance in the past than I think they do now. Instagram is certainly much bigger. One interesting thing about Instagram, it's owned by the same company, right? Facebook and Instagram are both owned by Facebook. So that's also something to keep in mind. You know, and maybe one thing, I'm just kind of throwing this out. You and I can talk about this offline, but maybe we should do a show where we talk about, you know, all the things you need to have backups for and possible services. I don't know. Maybe there's a webinar series or at least one paid webinar or something we can do there. I don't know. But yeah, anyway.
Maybe we can seek out experts in the backup area. I mean, I am by no means, for obvious reasons, I am by no means an expert in this field, but sometimes you only need one really strong, life-changing, life-transforming life experience to make you an expert on it. So maybe something I can talk about. Maybe we can try to find some experts in the field.
Well, and you know, I'll throw this out there. There are people who know more than I, but I also know a lot more about this topic than, you know, the typical professional. You know, right now I have a cloud backup provider, and you know, I pay for that every month. But I can go back and download data, you know, from several years ago, because I've just kept that same vendor. It's a vendor where if, let's say my house burns and I can't recover anything, I can pay a small extra fee and they will ship me overnight a hard drive with all my data. And we're talking terabytes of data. So I can do that. I also back up locally. I mean, every night I have a local backup. I've got a hard drive sitting on my desktop that literally all it does is copy what's on the drive in my laptop to a separate drive, right? So that if the drive in my laptop goes out, at least I've got a mirror copy. So those are a lot of the kind of things that we could talk about. I'm sure there's more once we get into it. So we talked about, you know, don't rely on just one platform. Have redundancy. Talked about the difference between backups, having distribution of services. We talked about the value of having a personal network to go along with your online network. And obviously, we'll probably find out the story later on, you know, over the next few weeks, maybe who kind of put in the word that really helped get your content back so quickly. Other things that you want to throw in this category? And by the way, if somebody else has questions on this, when this episode goes live, we're actually pre-recording this one, but you know, throw them in the comments when this goes live and we'll try to address that on a future show.
Yeah, I don't have anything else for now. I think it's a good exercise to kind of for us to go through the, you know, what happened and everything that went through my head during the process. One thing I tell you is, you know, I from now on, I'm not putting all my eggs in one basket on YouTube videos. So I started a sort of a personal podcast in Anchor, A-N-C-H-O-R. So I'm gonna give them a plug. They're not paying for this, but you go to anchor.fm and you can build your own podcast literally in hours. So I wanted to make sure, look, if video is not the platform, at least I have a voice. And I have talked about this whole process as well. I talked about redundancy and backups, what I've been learning in that. I did very, really short mini podcast there. I also realized that I have severely under-maintained my website and my blog. You know, before my videos exploded, I was always writing new content in my blog. And then I honestly got too comfortable. And unfortunately, I think it's in that comfort that we don't innovate. And that comfort, I just got too comfortable. I think part of why this was such an uproar for me personally was because I got too comfortable and I forgot about a diversified social media strategy. So I'm definitely going to make sure that my website has to be authority in content, written content. I have to make sure that I'm also hitting voice. I actually heard a thought leader in the social media space pose this question in a conference. He said, "What does your business sound like?" We all know what your business looks like, right? Your logo, your corporate colors, your uniform. Well, what does your business sound like? And that was a totally new concept for me, because it's like, well, I don't know what my business sounds like. But for now, it's, I guess, the leader's voice, right? So my business sounds like my thoughts put in voice format. So so that's something that so those are a couple of things that kind of came along with it. The other piece is I'm definitely going to hire a lawyer and somebody that knows about YouTube and someone that can create some strong guidance around what kind of content I can create, not create, how to copyright it, how to protect myself against these potential things. Now, I'm not going to go against Google or YouTube for being down for 3 days. That would be ridiculous. But what I want to know is for time forward is, you know, how do I protect myself? How to protect my content and how to protect my livelihood if video is going to continue to be my livelihood. So this will be my last thoughts on the topic.
All right. Well, I'll just close it by saying even your website is not 100% safe. I just, as you were giving your closing comments, I actually thought of a friend of mine who has built a significant online business. And literally hackers took down his website and he had to buy a new domain name. And so this stuff is real. And so hopefully, just like Hector is taking his personal experience as, you know, an opportunity to get himself better prepared, I would encourage our audience to do that as well. So with that, Hector, we will see you next time.
See you next week.